I was blind to the facts. Stabbed in the back, I couldn't trust my own hopes. Just the butt's dirty back. Will I succeed? Avenue from the weed. And hocus pocus, try to focus, but I can't see. And in my mind, I'm a blind man.
How do you spell badass liberal talk? BCR. Bart Cop Radio.
Tell me what's the use in trying. I've been trapped since birth.
So let's talk a few minutes about those nasty bastards on the Supreme Court. Those greedy, egotistical sons of bitches who do not want to follow the law, who change everything they believe in if they see they have a chance to screw somebody. And of course, I'm talking about medical marijuana. As you know, the court is very conservative. And what do conservatives stand for? States' rights. That's what they always stood for, because that's what being a conservative is about. That's what being a Republican is about. States' rights. We want the federal government off our back. We want the states to be free to do what they want to do. And we only need the federal government for national defense and whatever. Roads, I don't know what they do. Airlines, the things that the federal government has to do. The fuck is that? But that's what the Republicans stand for, states' rights. And the court we now are forced to live with is a conservative court. So you'd think they'd be for states' rights. And they are, except if something gets in the way of them wanting to have their fun. And one of the things that stopped them from having fun was when Florida decided that they wanted to give their votes to Al Gore, and the Supreme Court said, no, we don't believe in the states' rights anymore. From now on, it's the big federal government is what we want. We want to put the big federal government boot on the throat of the states, because we don't want President Gore, because we're conservatives, and we want our boy in there, no matter how stupid he is, we want our boy in there. So they said, screw a bunch of states' rights. We no longer believe in that which we believe. We believe in a strong federal government now. So here we go. 5 years later, they do it again. They don't want places like Oregon to have a euthanasia law because they want people to suffer. I know that just sounds crazy, but you explain it to me. Some guy's sitting there in massive pain. He's got pain throughout his body, and he's going to lay there for another 8 or 10 months or 5 years or 10 years with that kind of pain, and he can't get out of his misery. He can't reach any kind of solution with dignity to exit this world when he's got no chance of having any kind of life. No, the federal government will not allow Oregon to get together and choose the way the Oregonians are going to live. They won't allow that. So Bush and Ashcroft sent his goons out there to raid those people. Now here it is, 2005. It's time to stop the marijuana problem, because it's so horrible. If you take a plant and roll it up and smoke it and enjoy it, well, we can't have that. What's wrong with you people that you think that the government would allow someone to be happy? We can't allow that. The sons of bitches. The best excuse in the world, you know, I can't keep my food down unless I smoke some pot. Or I'm in such great pain, I can't make it through the day without some pot. And they said, well, you can't have any, because we're Republicans and we're anti-fun. And if we think you might be having fun, you got to knock it off. The sons of... All right, here we go. Let's get into some of this. The main story is there's two women. Oh, it's just the saddest thing ever. They've got multiple monstrous tumors growing all over their bodies, and they just can't hardly do anything. But when they smoke pot, either the pain or the symptoms or something goes away. And these are the people who sued. These are the people that stood before the Supreme Court and said, we would like some relief, please. We would like a life without pain. Isn't there something in the Constitution about life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? Well, happiness, in our opinion, Your Honor, is being out of pain. Can we be out of pain? Would you mind? And Bush, that son of a bitch. This isn't like some neutral thing that came up. No, they had their medicinal marijuana in California, and Bush sent Ted Olson or somebody over there. He said, hey, call Supreme Court. Tell me when a hearing on Friday. We got to stop this massive problem we got in California and Oregon and Washington. And, oh, there's like 10 or 12 states that have medical marijuana. And Bush just couldn't stand the idea that someone could smoke something and have some fun maybe as a byproduct. I mean, sorry, I need to keep my food down. Sorry. You know, but, God forbid I get off on it. You know, it's okay for the president to have been a raging alcoholic for decades, But if somebody else wanted to smoke a harmless drug compared to alcohol, we can't have that. Okay, so what they've done, Bush orders his whore media to come up with a whole bunch of reasons why marijuana is bad. And they're going to give a couple of them to you here. Big headline, Liz Zabato, S-Z-A-B-O, for the USA Today. Liz, you are a whore. You got your instructions to write a bunch of bad things about pot, and you couldn't do it without lying, so you said, fine, I'm a whore. I take money to lie. Give me some money. I'll lie. Tell me what you want me to lie about. And she did her job. Okay, when you talk about the studies of marijuana, rule number one is there are no studies of marijuana because the government won't allow it. They know that if marijuana is studied, the result is going to be that marijuana is a relatively harmless drug that will do a lot more good than harm, so therefore it should be legalized and utilized by whoever needs it or wants it. They can't allow the science and the facts to come forward, so they make shit up. This is what bad government is. This is what you get when your government is religious-based instead of science-based. Scientists have studied marijuana's effects on several ailments. AIDS. Now let's tell the lies. This is marijuana and AIDS. Research shows that marijuana stimulates the appetite among AIDS patients who often waste away. Patients gained a little weight and they ate a lot of junk food, said Benson. Don't know who Benson is. Who the hell is Benson? Benson, Benson, Benson. A lot of Watsons, no Benson. In 1999, the Institute of Medicine, a private nonprofit organization that advises the government on health policy. Now, your bullshit meter should be barking right there. This is a private institute that advises the government. That means they are religious hand jobs who pray for the invisible cloud being to give them guidance. That way they don't have to bother with all that science and the logic. They don't have to do medically scientific tests that prove something. No, it's like the same reason the Bush went to war. They start out with the idea that marijuana is bad, and now let's come up with some facts that prove that. So, AIDS. Research shows that marijuana stimulates the appetite among AIDS patients who often waste away. Patients gained a little weight and then they ate a lot of junk food, said Benson, who notes that sweets and snacks don't improve nutrition. Now, what a lie. Yes, it is possible that if you smoke some marijuana, you might get the munchies. But, you know, if you smoke some marijuana, you also might want some roast beef, some mashed potatoes, some green beans, a glass of milk, maybe a salad, maybe a piece of pie. In other words, things that a human being might ordinarily eat. Now, if you've got AIDS and you're wasting away because you don't want to eat, and this drug, this harmless drug, will give you the gift of appetite, they can't allow that, because what if the guy eats something that isn't good for him? What if he puts an Oreo cookie in his mouth? We've got to stop this. This is insanity, and this is what happens when the Democrats lay down and let the religiously insane take over. Number two, glaucoma and pot. Smoking marijuana should not be used to treat glaucoma, according to this private hand job, religiously based, idiotic organization called the Institute of Medicine, which is me and you, the listener, could come up, we could be the Institute for Medical Science and just hand job back. Whatever these guys come up with, we just come up with the opposite. And we've got as much credibility. A private organization, please. They've got no transparency. We can't see who's in there. We can't see who's paying. It's probably paid for by an oil company or a religion or someone that's got no business messing with medical science. Now, glaucoma. Smoking marijuana should not be used to treat glaucoma according to these hand jobs. Although it relieved eye pressure. Hello? You know what glaucoma is? Glaucoma is when you have too much pressure. I guess it could be too little, too. It's like diabetes. It can be too much. It's little. But it's when you get too much pressure in your eyes, and eventually you can go blind if the pressure is not relieved. Although it relieved eye pressure, those effects were short-lived, they say. Well, duh. You smoke another one. Have you ever heard of a fucking medicine in your life that you take a pill once and you're cured? No. It's like blood pressure. You wake up in the morning, you take a blood pressure pill. Oh, the effects are short-lived, though. We can't have that. This is a lying hand job. What's wrong with people? They accept this. Okay, so they lied on AIDS, they lied on glaucoma. Number three, epilepsy and multiple sclerosis. There is limited scientific evidence, unquote, that marijuana produces any measurable medical benefits, according to the article last year in Neurology. Limited scientific evidence means there is scientific evidence. There's just not a whole lot of it. And why is there not a whole lot of it? Because the government refuses to fund or allow any studies. They won't allow people to study the facts because they're afraid the truth might get out. I hate that. The drug remains popular with some patients, however. In two Canadian studies, one published in Neurology, one found that 36% of MS patients use marijuana, while another article found that 21% of patients reported using it in the last year. Of those epilepsy patients, 68% said that drug made seizures less severe. 54% said seizures were less frequent. Now, how dare these people with epilepsy? How dare they smoke a joint and have 68% fewer seizures? How dare they? The government and George Bush and the religiously insane want these poor people with epilepsy to have more epileptic fits, and they want it to be more severe. The sons of bitches. Can you believe that we live in a country where they say, no, you've got to have those. If you, instead of having 3 epileptic fits, you got to have 6, because marijuana is a bad drug. Oh, it's evil. It's bad. That's just crazy. What if the government decided that antibiotics were no good? I mean, you could go down the list. What if they decided that pain relievers were bad? It builds character, that pain. You don't want to take an aspirin when you're having your menstrual period or when you're, whatever, sunburned, or you cut your finger or you got a headache. You don't want to take it. It only works for a limited amount of time, they say. That's one of the reasons why you can't smoke pot for glaucoma, because the effect wears off. Well, duh, you smoke another one. You know what the alternative is, and I know about this. Personally, not personally, but Mrs. Bart has it. When you have glaucoma, you know what they do? Have you ever heard what they do? I couldn't do it. I'd say, hey, take my eyes. But when you have too much pressure in your eyes, it's like you've got too much water in your gutters around the roof of your house. So they have to let some of the water out of the gutter. And so what do? They build a drain. How do you build a drain in the human eye? You drill through the eye with lasers. Mrs. Bart's got 16 or 18 or some holes in her eyes. She goes to the doctor, brave as hell, and you stare into the laser. And the laser, they turn it on, and she says you can hear the water in the eyeball boiling. You can hear it. I don't know what noise it makes, because I ain't going to be there when that shit happens. But you can hear the water boiling as the laser cuts holes in her eyes. Yeah, I think that might be a permanent effect. Wouldn't want to smoke no pot. No, that pot would be dangerous. But instead of having a dangerous pot in your lungs, what we're going to do is get a laser and drill holes in your eyes. Seemed like, you know, 10 years ago they drilled 6 or 8 holes, and then, you know, pressure comes back and they drill 3, 4 more holes or something. That's not a... Smoking a joint is a lot better on a person than drilling holes. They're irrigating her eyes with laser beams, drilling holes in her eyeball. I mean, I guess it's better than going blind, but I ain't going to do it. Noony, noony. You need to drill some holes in my eyes. You knock my ass out. You wake me up when it's time to go home, because I ain't going to sit there and stare. Oh, geez, did you see the house the other night? They went into this guy's brain through his eyeball. They just stuck a needle through his eyeball. It's like, oh, put me out. I ain't going anywhere near there. But bottom line, the government is lying to you. You know it, I know it, Bob Dole knows it, the American people know it, that we're all being lied to. Somebody said this, it might be in this article. Somebody said if Congress voted off the record, if they had a blind vote or whatever that's called, the marijuana initiatives would pass 80 to 20. But no, they're so afraid. Anybody knows that if you use common sense about marijuana, that your opponent's going to say, oh, he's the druggy candidate, that Barkoff, he's the drug guy, oh, he's probably high now, I'll bet he's too high, he's late because he can't find the office, he's high somewhere, he can't find an exit. You know, that's what they do to you if you dare to have any kind of common sense towards marijuana. These poor people are dying. We got AIDS people, we got glaucoma sufferers, epileptic and multiple sclerosis. You got guys laying on the floor twitching because the government won't let them have some pot. So what do? They break the law, and they have to. Like the Deep Throat, they're so upset. Deep Throat broke the law. Well, you know, guess what? When the attorney general is on the take and going to prison, and the head of the FBI is on the take and going to prison, and shredding documents and notifying the subject of the investigation at every point, oh, here's what they know about you now, here's what they know about you now. Well, you don't get to go through normal channels. It's hard to call 911 if the bank robber's sister answers the phone for the police. Well, it's a little hard to dial 911 when it's a bank robber. You might have to call someone else. That's what happened to Deep Throat, and that's what ought to happen here. Somebody needs to do something about the religiously insane, crazy people that have taken over our lives, and they won't allow the medicine that your doctor... I'm not saying you, the listener, has to smoke pot. I'm saying if you, the listener, have a medical problem, and you go to your doctor, and if your doctor says what you need is a little medical marijuana, that's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for the government to get the hell out of the way. A patient and his doctor ought not to have the government. You know what they're trying to do now? A patient and his doctor ought to have a relationship without government interference. Am I asking too much? I wish this country could be more conservative. I wish we had less government. But no.
That's better.
I've just been told the jury is seated, and they are now awaiting for Judge Rodney Melville to enter the courtroom. And at that moment, we should be able to hear this audio feed coming through. The jury, again, is seated, now waiting for the judge to walk into the courtroom to start the proceedings. Wolf, the judge is on the bench.
All right.
The judge is on the bench, and we are now waiting for this feed. If it doesn't come through, we have somebody who's monitoring this, and they're telling us via radio the judge is on the bench, and the feed should be coming at any minute. I just heard something in my ear click.
Superior Court of the State of California for the County of Santa Barbara, Santa Maria Division. The people of the State of California, plaintiff versus Michael Joe Jackson, defendant. Count one, verdict. We, the jury, in the above-entitled case, find the defendant not guilty of conspiracy as charged in count one of the indictment. Count two, verdict. We, the jury, in the above-entitled case, find the defendant not guilty of a lewd act upon a minor child as charged in count two of the indictment. Count three, not guilty. Count four, not guilty. Count five, not guilty. Count six, not guilty. Count seven, not guilty. Count 8, not guilty. Count 9, not guilty. Count 10, not guilty.
And there it is, all 10 counts, not guilty on all 10 counts. Michael Jackson will be walking out of this courtroom a free man, not guilty, a slam dunk against the prosecution. Jeffrey Toobin, I think it's fair to say a lot of people are going to be very, very surprised.
A lot of people are going to be surprised, and you don't need a law degree to understand this verdict. It is an absolute and complete victory for Michael Jackson, utter humiliation and defeat for Thomas Snedden, the district attorney, who has been pursuing Michael Jackson for more than a decade, who brought a case that was not, it was not one that this jury bought at all. This one's over.
And how did Nancy Grace take the terrible, horrible news that the justice system worked in this case? Why have a justice system if they're going to find a suspect innocent? I mean, what is the point?
Here in the studio with me, and boy, do I need a shrink tonight. For everybody that's been watching the case, as we go to break, I'm having a little crow sandwich on the set tonight, and it's not going to taste good.
And of course, if you're looking for some insight, if you want to read between the lines, if you want to see behind the scenes, if you want to know what's really, really going on, you just have to go to Fox. That's all you got to do is go to Fox News, because they tell you things you can't get anywhere else.
And there's Michael Jackson. He looks to me relieved.
Now, here's one that falls under the can't anybody say anything without getting in trouble anymore department. Letter to Time magazine. Girls skate too. In his interview with Time, skateboard champion Tony Hawk did a disservice to young women everywhere when he noted that his arena tour showcasing the stars of skateboarding is, quote, one of the few events dads and sons can equally enjoy. Now, that pissed off Shelly Riley of Colorado really bad. What was her problem? She says, what, girls don't skateboard? In his offhand comment, Hawk reveals the prevailing mentality: there are places where girls belong and places where they do not. Stop the brainwashing of young girls! Exclamation point. Well, you know, lady, what's just possible is that Tony Hawk is a man and a boy. I think he's a young guy. I think he's, maybe he's not, but anyway, he's a male. So naturally, he's going to think about life in terms of a man, because he is one. Is he supposed to project himself into the body of the woman when he answers every question? Can't the guy answer a question from his point of view, since that's the only point of view he's got? Lots of this going around, lots and lots of this, where nobody can say anything. Oh, there's another one lately. I probably won't be able to think of it now, but the president of Mexico, Vicente Fox is probably his name. He said something about the Mexicans have to go to the United States because there are some jobs that even the blacks won't do. Now, yes, that's wrong, and he shouldn't have said it, but do you really think that Vicente Fox... was his intention to slur the black man and to make the black people out to be bad people because Mexicans are streaming over the border, and he was trying to make the point that there is a demand for this? You know, if you're broke and you're working in the hot sun in Mexico for $2 a day, and you can go to America and work in the hot sun for $50 a day, well, gee, that's 25 times more money. Yeah, I'll do anything. If it's 110, I'll work all day in the field for 100 and a quarter. I'll work, and, you know, nobody in America wants to do that, quote, not even the blacks, close quotes. It just seems like nobody can say anything these days. Thought about this one. This is a really old complaint that Rush had about Clinton. Years ago, I think it was before he was president, maybe it was while he was president, but probably not. Clinton jumped up on stage somewhere. There was like a campaign rally or something. You know, he plays the saxophone. Well, Clinton jumped on stage, and I think the band had an outfit that they wear. Anyway, they talked Clinton into putting on a black hairdo kind of wig thing. And Rush thought, oh, that was the most horrible thing of all time. My God, look what Clinton is doing, mocking the black man. Oh, if Tom DeLay were to go up there and do that, oh, there'd be a furor. But since it's Clinton, they let him go because of the bias of the media. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. The black man knows that Clinton is a friend. And if a black guy offers Clinton a black wig, like, hey, Rush is always teasing Clinton about being the first black president anyway. So with that in his mind, he puts a wall around that. He pretends he's never said anything like that. And acts like, oh, here's Clinton mocking the black man, where in effect, or in reality, Clinton is so comfortable with the black people, he didn't see a problem with that. But yeah, if Tom DeLay were to put on a black wig or get up and sing a song in whiteface, yes, that would be a problem, because Tom DeLay gets 1% probably of the black vote in Texas. The black people, they try to tell you how stupid they are. Oh, the black people are so stupid. They don't know who their friends are. They're so stupid. They don't know that it would be better to vote for the Republicans. That's what they try to tell you. And in a possibly interesting sidebar, I don't have it. Maybe I do. Why, there it is. It's in my hand. Got a quote for you. It's always good to know a trade. Now, who said that? Murray Walton. Now, what is Murray Walton's job? He's the manager at a pest control board in Texas. And he said that Representative Tom DeLay every year, this is a brand new Time magazine. He says every year, Tom DeLay goes down to Sugar Land, Texas, and he takes an 8-hour refresher course on how to be a good bug man. Every year he does this. 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 01, 02, 03, 04, 05. Every year, Tom DeLay keeps up his certification to kill cockroaches. And that's why Murray Walton said, it's always good to know a trade, because it would be nice when we retire Tom DeLay if he just went back to murdering bugs instead of Iraqis. Which leads me to another point. The idiot Democrats. They're doing all they can. My God, you would think the number one commandment of being a Democrat was screw your buddy. That's number one. Screw your buddy. Howard Dean said something today's, I don't know, the 9th. He said it recently, probably in June. He said a couple of things that have been twisted to craziness hell, and I don't even know what they are, because I saw one quote. So he said something like this: some Republicans have never worked a day in their life. So then, of course, the whore press changed that to Republicans have never worked a day in their life. See, now that's like saying the soldiers are the bad soldiers. The bad soldiers, yeah, they're killers. They should be locked up. They should be put behind bars. We all agree, but not the soldiers. And there's a difference between some Republicans and Republicans. But Howard Dean dared to say the truth. That's the biggest thing. I got an email the other day, said, Bart, what do you think about Howard Dean's comments lately? And I didn't get to answering it, but sometimes I read and remember a lot more mail than I get on the page. But for one, I didn't see, like I say, the exact quote. I would like to see the exact quote, or better yet, the footage of it, to see if there was sarcasm or whatever. But Howard Dean is in trouble for speaking the truth. He says what we all know is true. And then if he says something like, a lot of Republicans never worked a day in their life, he is probably talking about the monkey president. And that's true. Bush has never worked a day in his life. And Howard Dean dares to say the truth. So that's why the guns all get pointed at Howard Dean. The Republicans go after Howard Dean whenever he opens his mouth to teach him, boy, you don't open your mouth. You don't say nothing about our president. You say anything, and we're going to throw gas on it and multiply it 100,000 times. We're going to throw it back at you. We're going to have Russert grill you like a crazy boy. If you go on that stupid Meet the Whore with Tim Russert, we're going to punish you for speaking the truth. And so what do the Democrats do? They beat the shit out of Howard Dean, their own man, for telling the truth to please Russert and the Republicans and Karl Rove and our monkey president. Why do we do that? The two I remember, Joe Biden, who wants to have oral sex with Bush more than he wants to breathe his next breath. He did it. He said, oh, Howard Dean, he doesn't speak for me. That kind of wild talk, that doesn't belong in politics. What the hell's wrong with the... This is the spokesman for the party. And he told the truth. So naturally, the Republicans beat him up. The other one was John Edwards. He said, oh, he don't speak for me. No, no, no. That kind of rhetoric does not belong in politics. That is wild. That is outrageous. That is over the top. We don't do that. That's what's wrong with politics today. And then when someone, I don't know who it was, someone pointed out to him, but, you know, excuse me, but did Howard Dean say anything that wasn't true? Then John Edwards said, oh, well, I didn't mean to suggest that Mr. Dean, you know, and then he starts, oh, me and him have done a whole lot of projects. We work together real hard. Yeah, you know, there's an old trick. You don't have to apologize for something that you didn't say. Why is it that any time you stick a microphone in front of a Democrat and say, what do you think about some other Democrat, they got to trash the shit out of them? Why is that? You know, Reagan's 11th commandment was, thou shalt never speak poorly of another Republican. And that was in 1980. 25 years later, the idiot Democrats can't figure that out. They can't even mimic a good idea from the other side. They can't even think about that. They don't have the brains to copy something that works. What is wrong with the Democrats? How can they be that stupid? How can they not learn 25 years after seeing something? Hell, in 2000, Gore can remember what him and Clinton did in 92 and 96. Why can't Democrats learn? What's wrong with us? You know, I got an IQ of 64 and attention deficit syndrome, and I never got my education and all that. But so why am I so much smarter than every other damn Democrat in the party? What the hell is wrong with this party? We're spineless and we're stupid and we can't learn and we have no initiative. We don't want to win. We're willing to be bullied. We're willing to bend over for any bully that walks by. What's wrong with our party? Got another quote for you. The first part of this was on the page. I do not like to put in the radio what was on the page, but I did not see part two. And so it's in my hand. I'm going to mention it. One of my favorite people of the year, probably the best performance we've seen this year, was George Galloway. And doesn't it figure we got 300 million people in this country, but no Democrat is willing to tell the truth except Howard Dean. And boy, does he get in trouble when he tells the truth. But George Galloway came over here and explained it to Norm Coleman, the bastard that told the people of Minnesota, with Paul Wellstone dead and me in charge, now you've got a senator you can be proud of. Can you believe that son of a bitch said that? What a prick. You don't even talk about Nixon that way. Geez, when Reagan died, the Democrats, oh, he was the greatest man ever. The Democrats just couldn't stand how great Reagan was. And then on top of that, Rush beat him up for saying, oh, yeah, look at him saying nice things about Reagan now. Well, Christ, the Democrats don't have the brains to understand that they get in trouble for being nice. But they do it anyway. They go out of their way, oh, Reagan was the greatest man ever. Even if we didn't like some of his policies, he was our dad. He was the nation's dad. We're all so sad to see him go. And poor Nancy, what a perfect flower she is, you know. They give you that whole Reagan was such a great guy in the same way they're doing with Pickles. Oh, Pickles is the sweetest, greatest. Well, everybody likes Pickles. The whole world loves Pickles. Yeah, that helps Bush a whole lot. That helps him. Keep helping Bush. Just keep on. What the hell is wrong with the Democrats? Jesus Christ, they need to hire me to come up there and slap them all. Stand them up like the Godfather did to that singer in the movie and say, you can stand up like a man and quit crying, you little wimps. Smack them around. Oh, that's a whole lot of senators I'd like to just smack with my hand. Whap. Smack the shit out of a whole bunch of senators, what I like to do. God damn, that makes me mad the way they bend over and surrender at every opportunity. Would you please stop surrendering for 5 minutes? Back to the quote. I have a quote for you here. George Galloway, a member of British Parliament, was talking to Minnesota handjob Norm Coleman during testimony before the Congressional Committee investigating the UN oil for food handjob. There is no oil for food scandal. And if there is one, it's so tiny you can't see it. But of course, since we got 1,700 dead men in Iraq and we got no way to get out and a ruined reputation and $1 billion a day we're spending over there. Again, the soldiers in Iraq, it costs $1,000 to put body armor on a soldier. We're spending a fucking $1 billion a day in Iraq, but we can't afford to put armor on the soldiers? What's wrong with the Democrats that they let that happen? You can't blame Bush for that. If a shitload of soldiers die and he gets rich, well, that's okay. He can stand that. But the Democrats, they're not getting rich. They're not getting anything out of this. All they're doing is going to funerals, and they're taking it because they're Democrats, because that's what we do. We're Democrats. We surrender. We whimper. We cower in the corner and pee ourselves like Bernard Shaw in Baghdad. All right, I got to get through this. Every sentence I see reminds me of some fucking bullshit the Democrats pulled, and it's hard for me to let something go by without mentioning it, but we have to move on. What George Galloway said, Norm Coleman sat there and said, you took money for this. You did it. And it was so cool. Galloway says, hey, asshole, if I did it, if I took money from the people, you'd have a copy of the check I took all blown up 9 foot long on one of these easels, you weasel. But no, you don't have it. And you know why you don't have it? Because it didn't fucking happen. That's why you don't have it. Oh, it was great. He just smacked him up and down. So what did George Galloway said? Senator, and everything I said about Iraq turned out to be right. And everything you said about Iraq turned out to be wrong. Now, that was on the page. Now, what was Norm Coleman's reply? I don't think he was a credible witness. Now, that's amazing. You know, there's a thing in this world called debate. And when you're on live TV and someone says, everything you said was wrong and everything I said was right, now is the time for you to correct him. You don't wait until he leaves the room and the next day or, you know, hours later or a week later or whatever, you don't say then, oh, he wasn't a credible. That's what you do when you're a lying weasel asshole. Because if you weren't a lying weasel asshole, you'd say, hey, what are you talking about? Everything I know, everything you said was wrong. The time to correct the guy is then. That's just such a pussy move by Norm Coleman. Oh, I hope Al Franken runs against him in Minnesota. I'd love to see it. Who was it? Bill Maher was saying to Al Franken, you know, we've had actors turn politician. We've had baseball sports heroes turn politician, but we've never had a comedian. Al Franken would be the first comedian. So, if Al Franken runs against Norm Coleman, I hope he screws him to death. And I hope, I don't know a whole lot about Al Franken. I have a feeling he's got a heart. And I got a feeling if he gets Norm Coleman on the ropes, he's going to beat him up some and then let him go. Oh, not me. If that was me and I had a son of a bitch prick like Norm Coleman on the ropes, I would just beat him until the other people behind me said, Bart, you got to stop. He's gone, Bart. You're literally beating a dead horse now. He's dead. You can quit hitting him, Bart. No, that would be me, but I just got a feeling Al Franken's going to be nice when it comes down to it, and there's no room for nice. This is life and death. 1,700 dead kids. Did I mention that? $1 billion a day? Losing our Constitution? Taking away our rights? Putting Negro Ponte in charge of everybody's personal business? Jesus effing Christ! And the Democrats just take that. Because why? Because bend over and surrender and wet themselves in fear is all they know to do. After Bill Clinton taught them how to win, all they know how to do is to wet themselves and cower in fear like Bernard Shaw in Baghdad. And it makes me sick.
He's got more balls than all the Democrats in Congress combined. It's Bart Cop Radio.